Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Janet B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. Today is Monday, June 8th, 2026, and today we are reading from the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We are on page 43, the last paragraph on the page, and that starts once more and ends, "His defense must come from a higher power." Today's readers are 12 Steps, Ken W., 12 Traditions, Maureen B., readers of the text, Robin P., Christina L., our backup, Jane S. Our newcomer greeter is Felicia S., and our second hour host is Hanayeta R. The reference number for Sunday, June 7th, 2026 meeting is 23,525. That is 23525. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of recovery to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Karen W. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning. This is Karen W. from Texas. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were
salad.
One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly ask Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thanks, Karen. And I will now ask Maureen B. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Maureen.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Maureen B., grateful recovering compulsive eater in Michigan. 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are our trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me serve.
Thanks, Maureen. Our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, and press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous on page 25, the third paragraph that starts once more the alcoholic, reading through that one paragraph ending, must come from a higher power, and commenting on that one paragraph. I will now ask Robin P. to begin reading.
Thank you. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Franklin, Tennessee. Once more, the alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink, except in a few rare cases. Neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. And I have all of that underlined and exclamation point. I was thinking that I get on my knees in the morning, every morning, and I say the first three steps. And thankfully, I have the steps memorized, and I feel like it's really important for me to have that with me at all times. I just, you know, I am not my first defense. You know, I have no effective mental defense against the first bite. You know, I know that because I spent decades trying to be in desperate denial. And, you know, I've been abstinent by God's grace and mercy one day at a time for 10 years. And, you know, it's literally a miracle and nothing that I could do on my own. Because I know this because I kept hitting bottom thinking that's got to be the bottom. No, that's got to be the bottom. And so many humiliating experiences and places at times where I thought I was not going to live through it. You know, I was a low bottom bulimic and experienced a lot of painful, scary experiences, you know, and too probably graphic to get into here. And, you know, and at times I was anorexic, you know, and if I could just lose one more pound and then I could die thin. You know, it's just none of it. It was literally insane and going in the wrong direction, the opposite direction of life. And yet I was powerless over it. And the last person who knew that I was powerless was me. I think is that somebody just said something, was me. And I'm so grateful because I know today that I'm powerless. I can't, God can, and I'll let him. And as long as I continue to turn my will and my life over to God's care, I'm in excellent hands. And the other thing that helps me to remember is praying only for knowledge of His will for me and the power to carry that out. And that means in every area of my life. And, you know, as some of you guys know, we're moving to London, and I'm going to graduate school and getting my visa so I can audition at the West End. And that's been a lifelong dream of mine. And I'm a senior citizen. I thought I was retired, and God told me I don't retire my gift. And there's a lot of moving pieces here, and we're about to go visit and find our home. And there's so much surrendering, and I get to turn all of my life over to the care of God. Every single thing I am completely powerless over, including we have two dogs from Costa Rica who we adore. And it's we've been trying for a very long time to find them a home because they're bonded adult dogs, even though they're really well trained. And it's been really painful. And I just get to keep surrendering all areas of my life and working my steps and living in those beautiful God-derived steps. So God bless everybody with a very blessed abstinence day, and I pass.
Thanks, Robin. And I will now take a list of names of people who want to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Thursday or Friday on any of the Vision meetings, please hold back, let your friends share. Okay, I am ready.
Cody
Laurel
B.
Laurel B.
Ann M., North Carolina.
Lisa C.
Laurel and Lisa C., I believe it was.
Yes, thank you.
Larry K.
Did you hit Tony B?
Tony, Larry, got you. Larry, Tony.
Vasa O.
Aaron K., Michigan.
Okay.
Felicia S., New Jersey.
Felicia.
Lisa B. in South Carolina.
Lisa B. Okay, let me tell you all who I have, and let me know if I've missed you. Laurel B., Ann M., Lisa C., Larry K., Tony B., Vasa O., MK, Felicia F., and Lisa B. Did I miss anyone? Okay, we will go with that lineup. Laurel B., you are up. Good morning.
Good morning. This is Laurel B., grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from Chicago, Illinois. Thanks for your service, Janet. I just want to say a human being or a group did not provide a mental defense against the first bite for me. The book says my defense must come from a higher power. If we skip ahead a little bit to page 46, it says, if we can express even a willingness to believe in a power greater than ourselves, we commence to get results, even though it was impossible for any of us to fully define or understand that power, which is God. And for me, God is not a light bulb or a group. This willingness to believe opens the door to God's grace, opens the door to my recovery. And so I'm so grateful to be recovered and at this meeting today. So with that, I pass. Thanks for doing service.
Thanks, Laurel. And now we've got Ann M. followed by Lisa C. Good morning, Ann.
Good morning, all. This is Ann M., officially from North Carolina, currently in upstate New York. And I'm grateful. A compulsive overeater living in recovery today. And I too had to come to this paragraph the hard way, as so many folks do. When I first got into Open OA about 16 years ago, I thought the group could be my higher power. The people in it and the history, and certainly the support group was helpful. There's no doubt about that, that being with others who are working on recovery. Except what I found is that there were all different kinds of ways that people looked at working the program. And it took my relapse, and it took getting to somebody who really focused on the directions that are in this big book for me to have a spiritual experience and to fully accept what this paragraph says, that no human power can relieve me of my compulsion, my addiction to certain kinds of foods, particularly sugar for me, and my compulsive behavior around eating. And that I had to completely surrender to the God of my understanding. And I am so grateful to be here this morning saying that, yes, I do surrender on a daily basis. I have surrendered most of the time over the past 2 years. I am grateful, grateful, grateful to see that within every man, woman, and child is a fundamental idea of God, and I have found it within me. And with that, I pass. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Anne. Now we've got Lisa C. followed by Larry K. Good morning, Lisa.
Hi, good morning. This is Lisa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Thank you so much for your service. Everyone, thank you also for the shares and just this amazing meeting. The part that always stands out to me is at certain times. Because like I don't really know when that certain time is gonna be a problem for me. And I think like one of the things that I hear many fellows share is how put together they are in other areas of their life and the great success they've had professionally, perhaps, or in other areas, or the talents they have. And, but that none of that could be applied to eradicate this disease. And, you know, so I have to plan that every day is a day where certain times I'm going to have no defense so that I am spiritually connected every single day. And like people are saying, you know, like taking those first three steps every day, getting on my knees, asking God to make me a humble woman, make me an honest, humble woman every single day, and list those character defects of denial and dishonesty and egoism and pride. Because I really cannot lick this thing on my own. And I've really tried. I've tried in and out of the rooms. And, and this just made me think a little bit about how if my defense must come from a higher power, like, you know, what does that look like? And the other day I had like, you know, the beautiful gift of going to attend my older daughter plays in the orchestra at her school. She plays the French horn and I got to go to the concert and these concerts are just incredible, you know, to sit and observe. And my husband turns to me and he says, why can't they play without the conductor? I mean, what is the conductor even really doing up there? Just waving their arms. And so I sat with that for a little bit and really looked at this performance. And I see that every single performer has their eye and attention on the conductor. And the conductor is standing elevated and has their attention on every single performer. And there's something about that attention that creates the magic. And I'm not a musician. So forgive me, those of you out there who are musicians who are like, duh, it's called blah, blah, blah. But, you know, just from my sort of untrained eye, just really taking that in and thinking, what is the conductor doing? The conductor's holding the space. God is holding the space for me. I have to keep my eye on God. And somehow, you know, higher power has this ability to keep its eye on all of us at the same time. Each of us kind of craving that and receiving it. But it's that attention that makes the difference. I can perform my part, whatever it is for today, because I have my eyes on my creator and my creator has their eyes on me. And that attention creates the power. It creates the connection that is unbreakable. Thank you. There's just something about that needs attention and presence every single day to tune into in order to work. And so thank you, everyone. I pray that we all can tune in to that power today. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Lisa. And next, we've got Larry Kay, followed by Tony B. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, Janet. Thanks for your service. I'm Larry Kay. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Chicago. And yeah, I wanted to chime in on this. My defense must come from a higher power. And that's tough because, you know, because I spend a lifetime controlling or seemingly controlling everything. So it's a bit different for me when I come into these rooms. And the thing about it is so I'm not going to say, you know, your defense must come from a higher power, but dot, dot, dot. Rather, you know, because that would discount everything I say after that, you know, to the first premise, right? So I'd like to say, you know, my defense must come from a higher power, and, you know, there's some other things that I need to do, you know, that I acknowledge, you know, simple way for me to think about it is I acknowledge and admit that I can't control alcohol or my alcoholic foods by willpower alone. That there's no question. I know that. And there's a surrender process. Right. But much like the metaphor of, I guess, like building a bridge, if you're literally building a bridge, you know, you hand over the river's rush to something bigger, you know, than yourself. But then I have to lay down one sturdy plank, you know, each day, perhaps with the help of others. I can't lay down the plank myself, right? So I'm, you know, but that's part of it. And, you know, I may call a friend to help me with laying down the plank. I've got it. So in the context, I'm working these steps. So there's an and for me. I you know, my defense must come from a higher power, and I need to do some things. And I need to do some things for a lifetime. And I don't like that notion of for a lifetime. I need to do some things so I can just cross the bridge, using the bridge metaphor, to freedom. And then I'm done, you know, and then I have to, then the action's over. No, it's not over for me. Even with challenges, I've got to lay down the planks each day. And that doesn't, when I'm laying down the planks and doing certain things in my human form here, right? That doesn't mean I'm discounting God. In fact, if anything, I'm bolstering my surrender to God by taking actions that may involve you and all the things, the sponsorship and all the things in reaching out to you, other children of God, if you will, right? So that's something that I do. And I'm going to build a sail. I trust the wind, but then I got to raise the sail, man. I better do that. So that's what I'm hopeful to, that I'm mindful of today. And with that, I will pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Larry. And now we've got Tony B, followed by Vasa. Good morning, Tony.
Thank you, Janet. My name's Tony B. I'm a very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater living in Scotland. And I love this meeting so much. Thank you for your service. Thanks everyone who's shared. And I feel very joyful this morning. I've been praising God, and what better? And it just gives me such a lift to sing praises. And anyway, that's neither here nor there. I just wanted to come in with that that joyful reality of mine right now on a sunny June day. So yeah, definitely end of, well, you know, step one is what we've been getting, and the alcoholic, the real alcoholic, the real compulsive overeater, has this allergy of the body and then this insanity. Basically, I'm insane, and this mental defense, I don't have it. I've just got a bit in me that cannot decide not to eat. My mind is going to push me to it. I'm going to pick up. That is going to happen to me. And that's what all of these stories have been describing. So Jim didn't enlarge his spiritual life. He was a bit irritated, but he didn't have anything backing him up, and he drank again. And Fred got the information. Thanks very much. I understand that very well now. And I've seen that so often with sponsees. They say, thank you, you know, even work the steps through and then thank you very much and goodbye. Or at least, you know, just not doing as much. It's got to be action. That's as the last share was saying. And God will keep me safe and protected if I stay close to him and do his work well. And, you know, this is just the beginning of the book, and we're going to get this way of life. We're going to get this kit of spiritual tools that we can pick up. But we can't, I can't put them down again. I can't stop. I must keep doing this work. So thank God, you know, that this message came to came from Carl Jung to Roland Hazard, that once in a while, you know, people, these doomed alcoholics, I'm totally doomed, and now we've got a way, we've got a book, we've got a textbook, we've got a blueprint, and what a miracle. I think I'll leave it there, Janet. I just feel very, very grateful and joyful today. So everyone have a beautiful day, and I love you all.
Thanks, Tony. And now we've got Vasa O, followed by Karen K. Good morning, Vasa.
Thank you. Good morning, Janet and everybody. I'm Vasa, grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, calling from Foxborough, Massachusetts. Please time me because I get carried away. Anyways, yes, this is where I was when I came to my first meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. I had hit bottom, you know. After a while, I was not even trying to go and do any more diets because nothing worked. Oh, my goodness, that's my time. That's not my time. So, but anyways, this is where I was. Step one, I had no mental defense against the first drink, the first bite for sugars. I'm a sugar addict too, except in few rare cases, neither he or no other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from from a higher power, greater. And I have it all underlined, and that was the truth. There was nothing more that I could try. Maybe if I had my jaws wired in those years, or have my stomach stapled, they did in many, many years back, or go to a hypnotist. And I was terrified to go to a hypnotist. I said, they'll probably never bring me back. But anyways, I didn't do those things. And I'm so grateful I found Overeaters Anonymous. I had no clue about, you know, addiction. Food was just accepted. As growing up, you know, we love to eat, my whole family. And then I was getting bigger and bigger, and I didn't like my body, you know, didn't like the way it looked. I hated myself. So I was ready and willing to surrender to a power greater than myself and the program, not just the higher power, and say, okay, higher power, God, which I call God today, I surrender to you for the food addiction. That would have done nothing to me. That's just those words. I needed to action and work, go to meetings, use the tools, the literature. 90 days, they said to me, before you speak, 90 days. I wanted to wait another year before I could speak because I was so embarrassed. And I'm so glad I'm not in front of 350 people right now. I'd feel a little intimidated from my phone in my room. It's so much easier to share my experience at the Hope. This is the only thing has worked. It started with step one. And I did step one, two, and three all at once. I can, God, please help me. My clock is playing games. But anyways, this is the only thing that has worked for me. But I continue. I never left the program. Continue on a daily basis to the best of my abilities. I surrender every morning with the food addiction and everything in my life gradually with the character defects as I go along. And it's working. If you don't believe it, just keep coming. I was told, try 6 meetings. I haven't left for 40 years. I'm still practicing, you know, this program. Thank you for letting me share, and I pass.
Thanks, Vasa. Now we've got Karen K, followed by Felicia S. Good morning, Karen.
Good morning, Janet. This is Erin K. I wonder if you might have heard me. Jumping Karen K if you're out there. Okay. Morning, Erin K in Michigan, recovered compulsive overeater. I love hearing the joy on sunny mornings and all of the construction metaphors. This is great, relating to a lot of it. So, this is, effective mental defense. I kind of like my step one for me was this progression. I struggled quite a long time trying to, kind of find an easier, softer way, holding on to eating things I thought were going to be fine. And then I finally completely took step one around the food and embraced this concept of entire abstinence. And, that held me for a bit, and I worked the steps and got recovered, but then I relapsed. And coming out of that, I realized, what I really, the deeper part of step one is surrendering around my thinking, that I am powerless over my thinking and that it will inevitably take me back to the food. And I heard a 12-step speaker once point something out that seems obvious in retrospect, but it really struck me at the time, which is, the decision that I make to pick up that first compulsive bite is always made in a state of stone cold sobriety, technically. It's not craving driving me there. It's my thinking. And so surrendering around my thinking meant, practically meant a lot of things for me that I do differently now. And one of the things is like, I have to check my thinking about everything in life and ask God to direct it every morning. And the other thing, I really am coming to understand is, I need to be immersed in the message and in frequent contact with fellows. Because I sometimes picture myself almost like, one of those eerie horror movies where my head starts to get unscrewed slowly. And, step 12, frequent contact with fellows, sponsoring. I do make a certain number of calls a day, not to check a box, because it's like the scaffolding, that keeps the structure of my program solid. And, step 12 and step one are like related, 12 comes back to one. It keeps me in touch with the reality that I don't have an effective mental defense. And that's my time, so I'll pass. Thanks for leading, Janet.
Thanks, Erin. And now we've got Felicia F, followed by Lisa B, and then we will take some more names. Good morning, Felicia.
Good morning, and thank you so much, Janet, for your service and for all of Team Monday. I'm Felicia. I am Felicia S. from New Jersey. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater. I'm incredibly grateful this morning, and the shares have just been phenomenal. What, for me, this very small but punchy and powerful paragraph reminds me is this warning is so important. I don't graduate. I am always at certain times going to have no effective mental defense against that first alcoholic food. And if I'm not connected to a power greater than myself, if I am not practicing the principles of these programs, I'm going to fall. Life is going to happen. Just because I make a decision doesn't mean that life isn't going to continue to get lifey. And it also reminds me here with a strong warning that no human power can provide such a defense. So what happens for me is things get better. I get out of the food. I do a little work. And then a guy will fix it. This will fix it. Work will fix it. I don't need to continue to do all this heavy lifting. I can just find an easier, softer way. And this paragraph reminds me that that is my disease and that's not going to happen. And that my defense always must come from that connection with my higher power. So thank you.
Thanks, Felicia. And Lisa B., you are up.
Good morning, Janet. Good morning, everyone. My name is Lisa B., and I'm a grateful recovered compulsive overeater, and I'm calling from South Carolina. This has been so amazing going through this chapter on this amazing meeting and listening to the shares. I was thinking the two words that really jumped out for me, effective and defense. Effective, successful in producing an intended result, having the power to accomplish a purpose, and actually working, not merely appearing to work. Yes, it has to be effective. And I love that word effective because the spiritual awakening, you know, that has to be effective. The whole recovery process has to be effective. It can't be just a little bit. And defense. Defense means protection against danger, attack, or harm. And I think about cunning, baffling, powerful, this disease. Cunning is something that's planning my destruction when I don't even know it. And I love our steps of 10, 11, and 12 because it keeps me grounded. And you know, I also love how it says an effective defense, like for my mind, you know, an effective mental defense. It's interesting how that word is put there because that's the whole problem. You know, the food is down. I have abstinence and I have neutrality, but my mind is all that's involved, you know, in that prelapse, the beginning of the relapse. And I need this effective defense. And I can't do this alone. Yes, with my higher power for sure as a result of the spiritual awakening. But I do have to say the fellowship is so much a part of it for me. But that one-on-one relationship, growing relationship, that power, my highest power is the most important, very, very most important. Chief, everything. And I also like how it talks sometimes, you know, I don't know what it's going to look like if I pick up. I just know that it's progressive, it's chronic, and it's fatal. And the guns, the bullets, you know, have increased in the chamber as I go on in my age and as the disease progresses. There's more bullets in the chamber. So anyways, I feel like I'm a little scattered, but it's so nice to hear all of the shares of messages of experience, strength, and hope. Thank you so much. I pass.
Thanks, Lisa. And let me tell y'all where we are, and then we can take, I think, about six more names. We are
Charles
in
Reese.
The chapter. Oh, just a second, Charles. We are in the chapter More About Alcoholism, page 43, last paragraph that starts Once More the Alcoholic, ends with Must Come from a Higher Power. I think I can get six names in there.
It's Wajia from Maryland.
Okay, I got Jerry. Charles. I got
Jen
from Maryland.
Joe
Nancy
M.
C. Jen F.
Miss
New Jersey.
Maya K.
Marion.
I'm sorry. Okay, I've got Charles H. Who is there from Maryland?
Wajia.
She's then Nancy.
Yes, Nancy C. From Michigan.
Charles, Wajia, Nancy. Who else would like to share?
Marion.
Now, I know y'all can't do one at a time, but let's try again.
Maya K.
Marion K.
Okay, I got Maya. I got Darian. And let's take one more.
Jen F. Thank New you. Jersey.
Jen F. Okay, this is who I have, and I'm so sorry if I missed you, but tomorrow is a great paragraph, too. Charles H., Wajia, Nancy C., Mia K., Darian K., Jen F. So sorry if I missed you. Charles, you are up.
Thank you, Janet, for your excellent moderating skills. His defense must come from a higher power. Must. Obligation, necessity, or strong probability. are a requirement, logical certainty. You know, so tomorrow we're going to hear different mindsets. You know, some people are going to talk about what they're going to talk about, and other people are going to talk about what other people are going to talk about. And I'm going to learn from each of it. I remember, like, maybe just even 2 years ago when we got on this topic that we're going to get on, which is thing. It's the problem and the solution. You know, at my rawest form, I'm disgusting. Unapologetic. Nasty. I'll cut you off on a line. I don't care if it's 500 people on a line. And today, that's not the case, because my defense is coming from a higher power. I surrender to, you know, resentments and fears and the buildup of human emotions because of my higher power. I don't dumb down the fact that my higher power is Jesus Christ, God. I don't really care who gets offended. That's your business, because I'm not here to compel people to follow my higher power. I'm not here to condemn anybody that doesn't follow my higher power. I'm here to recover one day at a time. And when I sponsor, it's a great opportunity for me to recover. We heard that on the Great Special Edition yesterday, that the reason why I open my mouth and the reason why I open my mouth because I give all praises and glory to my higher power. I open my mouth because maybe somebody else may be helped. I am not here to, you know, to shout. Maybe I am, but to shout it from the building tops that God, Jesus Christ, has saved me from addiction one day at a time. And with that, I will pass.
Thanks, Charles. And next we have Wygia, followed by Nancy C. Good morning, Wygia.
Good morning, everyone, and thank you, Janice, for the service you're doing also. No effective mental defense. Those four words alone stick out like a light bulb, because that means what I read is no effective mental defense, but I do have a mental defense, but it's not effective. Because the disease will say, yeah, that's okay, but there is no but when it comes to a mental defense. My mental defense was a diet. A diet club you could think of, being hypnotized. Let's see what else I've tried. Here's a big one that I've tried, and I really thought that no one noticed. I worked in scrubs and different colors for different departments, and the only thing that changed was the string that let you know the size changed. So I would actually go from a 14 to a 20, who knows, and think that no one noticed because the string changed and you wouldn't see it. But that was a defense. That was a defense. My defense, since I came back into these rooms last June, has been a higher power. I'm learning and meeting and knowing everything I could possibly know about a higher power for many, many years. I'm getting it now. I'm getting settled now. I don't have a mental defense. And you know what? I don't want to have a mental defense. I want what is effective. And so that I don't have to concern myself with, is this effective? No. What about this one? No, let me check. If I keep my defense, I just stay with my higher power. I don't have to worry whether it's up, down, left, or right. The effective mental defense, I want to have what's effective because I'm working with the higher power. So what the non-effective? On this call, we all know how far that takes us. So I'm grateful to be on this call this morning. I'm grateful to hear from fellows. I'm grateful that at 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, I can open my phone, pop in WhatsApp, and find a fellow to support me. And for that, I'm grateful, and I will pass.
Thanks, Wygia. And next up, we've got Nancy C, followed by Mia K. Morning, Nancy.
Good morning, Janet. Morning, everyone. What a fantastic meeting. The chairs have just been amazing. You know, I'm thinking about mental defense, effective mental defense, and how I have effective mental
defenses in so many other areas of my life. Like, I know if I don't want to get sunburned, I put on sunscreen and I have to continue to apply that if it's going to work. I have to keep going back and getting the bottle and putting it on. The same with bug spray. If I don't want to get bit, I have to apply it and reapply it and follow the directions. And I have to I have to do the same thing in this program by following the steps and following what is prescribed to get that effective mental defense. But first I have to understand that I'm totally powerless over it. And if I don't reapply it, I don't get the effects of it. I have to do that every day. And I also can't rest on yesterday's laurels. If I'm using outdated sunscreen, I don't know if anybody's ever done that, but it's not a pretty experience. I have to always look for fresh application to apply, and that is done by showing up at meetings, talking to fellows, and working these steps to the best of my ability. So this is an effective mental defense, is showing up here every day and sharing my experience, strength, and hope. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Nancy. And now we've got Mia Kay. Good morning.
Hello?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Oh, hi. I'm sorry. This is Maya Kay from New York.
Maya Kay. Welcome.
It's spelled M-A-I-J-A. And I got here a little late, but I did hear about the first step and turning everything over to God, really, and being powerless. And that's what this program has totally taught me how to do concerning everything in my life. I haven't shared in a while, but I just heard such a great analogy before. And I'm a musician, and I thought about the conductor and how when I was in music school, I mean, if we didn't look at the conductor like as like a higher power, I mean, we didn't know when to come in. He knew all our parts, like God knows all our parts. And it was just a great analogy. I just had to share. I never thought of it in all these years, but, you know, God knows when we're coming in. God knows when we're being too loud. You know, it's like the director. It was just a great way to start my day to think about, you know, I have to look at that conductor because he'll help me when I lose my spot and not sure where I'm coming in. But it just is a great way to look at it. Like we all have our own parts and maybe it's a short part, maybe it's a solo, maybe, you know, whatever. But it was just a really eye-opening to hear this morning, and I'm just feeling grateful right now, and thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Maya. And then we've got Daria K, followed by Jen F. Good morning, Darian.
Good morning, Janet. Good morning, everybody. This is Darian K, and I'm in the Berkshires in Western Massachusetts. Very gratefully recovered, and oh, so happy to be on the line with all of you and hearing all these incredible shares that just start out my day on such a great note. You know, just keeps me remembering what I need to think about. You know, I don't have to think about, you know, speeding to work or what plans I'm going to do with the kiddos or just that and the other thing. I have to think about my program and why I am in it almost 40 years. Like, what is that all about? You know, in September it'll be 40 years. And it's because I have a higher power. That is the reason. That is it. I never stuck to anything with any kind of success or effort. Forget about that. there was just no, I have no track record of any, you know, stick-to-it-ness. And also I was thinking, you know, I don't know. When I was growing up in the Jewish faith, my higher power, he was at temple. He was maybe up in the sky sometimes when I wanted certain things. He was definitely during holidays. All I would think about is what food we would have for those holidays. That was like my higher power, surprise, surprise. There was no, he was just not working in my life. He was just an outside entity that, you know, would just show up every once in a while because I was of this religion. And today it's very different. Today my higher power lives inside of me and my heart, you know, and I heard something wonderful the other day at a meeting. When our higher power, you know, let your higher power into your heart, but also let it out, you know, let it out, let it flow, let it, you know, be a part of everything that you do today. And I loved that because, you know, that's where it is. It's a spiritual piece, very, very different than when I was growing up. Does it work? My goodness. Thank you, God. The food is not calling me. I'm in a neutral space that does never gets old. And it's just always a gift and a miracle. And, you know, I just hope a day at a time that it will always be this way. I don't know. I mean, you know, many of us go through relapse and it's so tricky how that just comes about. And you're like, what happened? But for today, I am plugged in, energized, and just I'm so grateful for all of you. Thank you all for being there for me. I pass.
Thanks, Darian. And now we've got Jen F. from New Jersey. Good morning, Jen.
Good morning, Janet. Thank you for your service today. This is Jen F. from South Jersey, right outside of Philadelphia. Grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater, and so happy to be part of this meeting. The shares really have been amazing. And for me, when I look at this, what really jumped out at me, a few things that we've already touched on, but just that no effective mental defense, and looking up that word defense, as someone had shared, it's to protect, the capability of protecting someone or something from attack, harm, or danger. And when I think of that, I think of how the disease is very, it has attacked me, it has harmed me, it has put me in danger and would ultimately bring me to a place of death if I kept in it. But thanks be to God for being that defense. He takes up for me. He kind of comes in as the hero of the story and really saves the day. So when I think about the need for having that defense, having that higher power that I can go to that will defend me, I think about how if we don't have that, we don't have anything that comes from the serenity prayer. I don't get the acceptance. I don't get the courage. I don't get the wisdom because I'm praying that to him and I'm asking him for that. And he's providing that in an effort to defend me from the day. I don't get the relief of the bondage of self. I tried for years to relieve myself. You know, I think of myself as a smart person, very mentally astute, intellectual, know how to do a really good ton of research. But at the end of the day, I could never relieve myself of the bondage of self. It takes the God of the universe, the God of my understanding to come in and relieve me of that. When I think about my defense, it's a defense to be able to pray to God and say, take all of me, good and bad. I always wanted to hide the bad and only present the good, only present that, you know, my best face forward. But I can go to God and, you know, warts and all, and just lay my stuff before him and know that he is right there to give me strength to do his bidding. And so admitting the powerlessness and that life is unmanageable, to me, that's the defense. I'm tired of playing offense and trying to do it on my own. I'm just resting in the defense of an almighty God who loves me, who draws me to him each and every day, who cares about me and has a perfect plan for my life. And in that, I will pass.
Thank you so much, Jen. And we've got time for one more 2-minute share. Who would like it?
Ann from Georgia.
Ann, it is yours. You've got 2 minutes. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Thank you guys so much for your service today. I'm Diane. I'm a recovered, not cured compulsive overeater, recovered today by God's grace and mercy. And I like to say that because I'm an addict and because it took me so many years to get this program. And I just love this reading. Once more, it's as if it's constant reminders throughout, letting us know that we need a power greater than ourselves. I came in these rooms in my 20s. I'm a chronic relapser, and I just wanted to say that there could be someone else in the room, but I didn't leave, I guess. I just needed to say that I stayed in these rooms. I had such a difficult time. I thought I was one of those unfortunates that they talk about in this big book, because I just couldn't get this program. And And in this chapter, it tells us that we need our only defense is a power greater than ourselves. I was a very slow learner, so it took me four decades almost to get this program. But because to realize that God needed a power greater than myself, or to accept that, I've been in recovery since the pandemic. It was 6 years in January that I've been in recovery. So I just wanted to say that there could be some other people in the room thinking that, look, I'm never going to get this program. But if we follow the directions, and they keep reminding us once more, you know, we got to follow the directions. We need a power greater than ourselves. And for me, that power is God. And I'm so grateful I was able to receive that gift of desperation and stop fighting and just follow the directions. And they keep reminding us throughout. So thank you guys for letting me share. And I'm so grateful for your service today. Then I pass.
Thanks, Diane. And thanks to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following closing. The share ID for today, June 8, 2026, the 7 a.m. meeting, is 23,526. That's 23526. We will now close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Christina L., can you please read from A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, everyone. A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.